actually.
So we're going to open our Bibles to Philippians and chapter 3. I'm going to read today from verse 7. So Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Amen. We pray that God by his Spirit would bring to us the living word. So, as we've reflected in these past weeks, months, together in the gospel, Paul writes to the church in Philippi, a long way from him, a long way from where he's writing, and he is encouraged, he is blessed, because he knows that they are partners with him. And that deep encouragement as Paul is in prison, because he has declared Jesus as Lord and he refuses to let go of that, he's been put in prison and he writes to the church in Philippi to say, "I'm so glad that I can consider that you are partners with me. You're doing in Philippi what I have done in a whole number of places since I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ." And so he encourages them. But when we get to chapter 3, the letter seems to take something of a turn. And there's this deep criticism of a group of people in the church in Philippi, or people have joined the church in Philippi or come through Philippi or something. And Paul is absolutely scathing of these people. And then he becomes very personal to say, "Look, what really matters for me, I want to know Christ. That's the purpose of my life. That's my destiny. That's my goal. That's my aim, that I might know Christ. I haven't got there yet. I haven't got all the answers. I know I'm not where I used to be, but I want to know Christ." Today, I'm going to speak under the heading of reaching for the prize, and four different headings: the past, the present, the future, and the prize. And you'll be pleased to know that all of the sub-points begin with the same letter. I would like to say it took a work of genius to do that, but it just fell into place. You know, it's one of those things. So the past, the present, the future, and the prize. And first of all, just reflect upon what Paul says about the past. And here we go. Repentance of rigid self-righteousness. Yeah, they're going to get even better parts as time goes on. Repentance of rigid self-righteousness, because the Apostle Paul looks back to where he was. And he says in verse 13, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. He knows who he was. And he's given his a little testimony of this in verse 5 and 6. And it says of himself, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And yet the Apostle Paul now says all of that, everything that in a sense in his previous life that he had thought was to his credit, he now says, I need to turn from all that. That's the repentance. I need to turn from all of that. And he knows that in his past there was this rigidity, there was this legalism, there was exactly what these people are doing that he is so scathing about. Paul knows, once upon a time, that was him. So when in the early verses he says, watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. The people, these are Jews who are coming to the church in Philippi and saying, look, if you want to follow the Messiah, the Christ sent by God, then you need effectively to become a Jew, and all the men need to be circumcised. You need to take on the culture of the Jewish people. Paul knows that he used to be somebody like that. He used to tell people that. He used to force people into that position. Either you follow this legalism, this rigidity, or you have no part in God. And so as Paul looks back, he knows, I'm not that person. I've changed my mind. I wonder if you've changed your mind. We all change our minds about all sorts of things. I wonder if you've changed your mind about what you believe or how you believe it. I know I have. I was listening to somebody the other day who was speaking about, who's done a lot of research into intergenerational learning, and he does a lot of work about how young people learn from older people and old people learn from younger people and so on. And he likes to get different generations together to see how they interact, how they talk and listen and learn from one another and so on. And he was just commenting that in his research, he now understands that for the majority of people, what you know about your Christian faith was learnt by the age of 20. Yeah. For the majority of Christians, what you know about your faith, you learnt and you've stuck with since the age of 20 and you haven't shifted. And I find that really, really challenging. I have learnt more about my faith since the age of 20 than I ever imagined. I have changed my mind probably on almost everything since the age of 20 than what I knew before. And I recognise for myself, and this may be something of a confession, but I believe it's true for Paul as well, that as he says, you know, as for zeal, as for his passion for his faith is following after God, when he says in verse 6, I even persecuted the church, he knows that the way he used to be and the stuff he used to believe and the way he used to behave hurt people. That's what he's saying. I persecuted the church. I damaged people by what I told them. I damaged people by what I said. And sometimes we need to change our perspective on God, and we need a fresh understanding of who God is. I certainly recognize this for myself that sometimes in the past I have said things, proclaimed certain doctrines, and people have rejected God because of what I've said. They haven't been welcomed because what I've actually done is communicate that God hates them, or God rejects them, or God doesn't welcome them. And this may be because of their lifestyle or because of their identity or all sorts of things. But because of my zeal, just as Paul says, I realise I've hurt people. I remember when I, before I came to Evesham, I was a pastor in London, and I mentioned to Sarah yesterday as I was just reflecting on this, I remember my very first morning service in the church in London. And so that was a big thing. And where do you start your very first sermon? Well, I started with Romans in chapter 1. And, so I was all prepared for that. But if you know Romans and chapter 1, there's some very difficult things said about certain groups of people in Romans chapter 1. And there was a young lady who came to the service that day who was seeking God. And at the end, she just got up and left because what I'd said communicated to her that God hated her and she would never be acceptable to him. And I carry that. I carry that. And I know for me, the past, I look back and I would repent of some of the things I've thought. My perspectives on God, my interpretations of the Bible, and the rigidity with which I held things, and that sense of self-righteousness, that is so wonderful at the time. You think, I've got the answer, I'm living well, this is good, I've got it sewn up. And then you realise, no, I haven't. No, I haven't. And it's not enough simply to say, I don't think that anymore. Isn't it? Alcoholics Anonymous, they have 12 different points that they go through to help people who are alcoholics. And one of them is, as far as possible, they need to make repair for the damage that they have done because of their alcoholism. They need to go back, and that's part of repentance, is to actually see, can I actually go back and apologize and deal with that? And I believe for the Apostle Paul, not only is he repenting of that rigid self-righteousness, but he wants in the present to repair the damage that he may have done. So that's the past as the Apostle Paul looks back. He knows that these people that he's so scathing about, he used to be one of them. He used to be like that, but he's met Christ and his whole perspective has changed. So the present, and yes, continuing with the R's, rescued for risky living and courageous resistance. Rescued for risky living and courageous resistance. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but this wonderful phrase, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Isn't that wonderful? I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He forgets what is behind and he presses towards the goal to win the prize. And he knows that God has saved him. Even though he thought he had everything sewn up, he thought he had all the answers, and God approved of the way he persecuted the followers of the Lord Jesus. But he's put that all down. He says, I consider all of that as loss because I have now discovered Christ, and Christ has rescued me. But I say he's rescued for risky living. Now, what is this risky living? Paul was considered a heretic. Have you ever thought that? Paul was considered to be a heretic. Now you think, why was Paul considered to be a heretic? Well, he used to be one of those people, one of the dogs, the evildoers, the mutilators of the flesh. And so that group are now going, oh, don't take any notice of Paul. He's a heretic. He's left us. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying he considers everything we taught it as loss. He says it's like manure, like dung, it's rubbish, and he wants nothing to do with it. Don't take any notice of Paul. He's a heretic. And it's risky to take that step to say, I'm no longer who I was. I don't believe the things I used to believe. But I'm pursuing Christ. Christ has taken hold of me and I'm pursuing him. And Christ matters more now than ever he did before. And it's risky to do that because of what people will say of you. And the rumours, I'm sure, that were passed around because of Paul. You know, don't take any notice of Paul, you know. I was listening to somebody yesterday, in fact, and they said, they were saying one of the difficult things about this person was, giving a bit of their testimony, and they were saying how they'd been brought up in a particular tradition, and they had changed their mind. And they remembered telling a friend, you know, this particular thing you believe, that we believed, you know, I've changed my mind. I don't think that's right anymore. And this person said, I think that's heresy. You know, it wasn't, I don't think, but it was heresy. And then this person got really upset. And it was like, why are you so upset? And what? Person who was telling the story realized that what this person believed had been passed on to her by her parents. And so for that person, the offense was not just at her, but at her parents and her whole tradition. And so the rejection was doubled. You're not just rejecting me, but you're rejecting my parents. I've actually had this said to me. When I was talking to somebody one time, you know, they were very passionate about what they believed and they weren't sure I believed it. And then they went on to tell me, that's what my dad taught me. And I realized they were offended, not just because he and I disagreed, but because that's what their dad had taught them. And it is a risky thing to take a step forwards out of the present to a future where you pursue Christ. It is risky to do that, and it takes great courage to resist the pull back. And so this is the Apostle Paul in the present. He's regarded as a heretic, and yet he knows that Christ has taken hold of him. And he says, you know, everything I consider as loss. Compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I know through many, many years of trying to follow Jesus, is it would be so much easier if God did appear to us and say, well, look, this is what you need to believe. Here are my 10 key doctrines. As long as you believe all this, you sort it. But that's not what God gives us. God gives us Jesus. And Jesus says of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if ever you try to follow somebody, it's very different than following a tick box of believe this, believe that, believe the other. And, you know, sometimes I know that trying to please my wife is like trying to please a moving target sometimes. I don't know if you find that. You know, it would be so much easier if there was a list that said, well, just do the washing up, make the bed, do the vacuuming or whatever, tick, 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 tick. But it's not like that because I'm married to a person, not a to-do list. And the Apostle Paul has discovered that the to-do list he used to stick with, that was the rigidity, simple, tick, tick, tick. He's discovered Christ and suddenly he's following a moving target. And it's difficult. It's challenging to do that. And it takes great courage to keep following because he can't pin Christ down, but he's pressing on. So he's reaching for the past, reaching for the prize. He's rejecting his past, saying, look, I was passionate then, but I think I was wrong and I hurt people. And in the present, I've been rescued. I'm taking risks with my life and what I believe. I'm being rejected by some and welcomed by others. But this is my passion now, that I should follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the future, reaching forwards with restless persistence, keeping the R's in there, reaching forward, he repeats this phrase, I press on. I press on, and in verse 13, straining towards what is ahead. I just persist and persist. I'm reaching forwards. I press on. And this communicates energy. It takes work for the Apostle Paul. It's not easy to take this, to reach for the prize that is worth gaining. It takes energy. And I know, and I'm sure you know, in your own spiritual lives, as you seek to follow the Lord Jesus, it's not easy. And whether that is, in a sense, the simple disciplines of saying that you will pray on a regular basis, or you will read the Bible on a regular basis, or you will turn up to share with others and be a blessing to others, or you will serve in a particular way, it takes energy to do these things. And sometimes you'll say, I'm tired. I don't know if I can do this anymore. But with that sense of restlessness, I'm pressing on. I will keep going. I will persist because I believe the prize is worth it. But also that re-examination from time to time of who am I? Who is God? Have I got this right? And am I honouring who God is, this God of extraordinary love and mercy and kindness and compassion? Am I communicating that God is like this to all that I meet? Am I welcoming people as God our Father welcomes us? Am I including people in the way that God our Father includes me and includes those I know and love? And all of this takes energy. All of this takes work. Hence this particular phrase, I press on. I press on and I strain. This is the persistence. And as I've mentioned, Paul says, look, I haven't got it sorted. And I think that's a wonderful note. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. I'm aware that sometimes we can read the letters of Paul, and certainly I used to think, it's all right for Paul. He's got it all sorted. You know, he's got all the answers, you know. And then he says something like this, and you go, no, he's confessing. I haven't got it sorted. But I'm pressing on. I've got this vision of Christ. I'm pursuing him. Wherever he goes, I want to go. So I am reaching forwards. So that's the past, the present, and the future. And of course, the prize, as we touched on last week, is resurrection. Is resurrection. in verse 11, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And verse 14, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. That eternal relationship with God. That's what I'm pressing on towards. That I might know that blessing when my time comes, when my name is called out. Might it be that I hear my name called by God, my Father, calling me. Might I know my Father saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You pursued me. You took a risk. You resisted the naysayers. And you kept going. You kept your eyes on the prize. And you reached forward. You pressed on. And that, for the Apostle Paul, is the prize. He wants to know Christ, such that one day he will be raised from the dead. Now, our passage ends, or the bit I read, verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. In other words, if you don't agree with Paul, if on some point you think differently, then I trust God will show you you're wrong. No, he doesn't quite say that, but almost. See, this is the passionate Paul. He's convinced that he's seen the light. And then as he lives his life, at some further point, he realizes, do you know what? I used to think I saw the light back there, but actually now it's the truth that's coming through and it's wonderful. But what he wants is that others might share in this joy, the joy of knowing Christ, set free from laws and rules and regulations, and not replacing those old rules and regulations and laws with new laws and rules and regulations, but replacing it all with that pursuing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the difficult task every day to seek to follow Jesus to win the prize. I'm going to pause there. Let's pray together. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection, to participate in his sufferings, to become like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. Holy Spirit, fill us, fill each one of us, that with humility and generosity and gentleness of spirit, we might fix our eyes on the prize, we might fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, continue your work, your beautiful, wonderful work of transforming us. And might we in every way reflect your love and your compassion, your kindness and your goodness. May this blessing rest upon us in the name of Christ. Amen.